Brothers and sisters, I remind you, as I remind myself, to fear Allah. Because the fear of Allah, taqwa Allah, is the essence of faith. Where there is no taqwa, there really is no faith. So let us keep that always in mind. In our understanding of Islam, in our living, working, playing, let us keep taqwa Allah foremost in our mind. Where that consciousness is present, it is impossible for us to be depressed. Depression is the biggest killer in this world. More than cancer, heart disease, heart attacks, Ebola, or any of the plagues. Depression strikes all over the world, and many lives are lost as a result of it. But the Prophet ﷺ, when he was in the cave on the way to Medina with Abu Bakr, hiding out from the Quraysh, who had followed them, seeking to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when it seemed as if they were about to be found, and the story most of us have heard as children, a spider made a web over the entrance of the cave. This is not true. It's a fairy tale. No spider made any web over the entrance. The Quraysh came close. So close that Abu Bakr became afraid, became saddened, saddened to the point that he felt they were going to be caught. And that took him to a level of depression that the Prophet ﷺ pulled him out of, saying to him, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Do not become depressed because Allah is with us. Now this statement has been mistranslated as don't be sad. And even a well-known book was written by Sheikh Aid al-Qarni with that translation in English, don't be sad. But reality is that human beings will be sad. Who is not sad at some point in his life? Wasn't Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sad when his son Ibrahim died? Of course he was sad. So the issue is not about being sad or not being sad. We are not going on the banner of be happy. You know, because that is the corollary, that's the counter. If you're not going to be sad, then you should be happy. And there is even a song about that some years back, Be Happy. And everybody loved this song, Be Happy. Sounds so nice. Be happy. But reality is you can't be happy all the time. People try drugs, music, all kinds of things to be happy. It lasts for a little while and it goes. That's not what our life is supposed to be about. Trying to be happy. Our lives should be about pleasing Allah. Whether in happiness or in sadness. Because our lives will be between happiness and sadness. We cannot escape it. There's no escape. But we don't allow that sadness to reach the point of depression. That is the point. We don't allow sadness to reach the point where we become depressed, where everything around us is sad. We're sad about everything. We cannot see any good anywhere. That is the state that the believers should avoid. And it is avoidable. And its source is from shaitan. In fact, there's a verse in the Quran in which Allah says, إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Indeed, the secret meetings and conspirations are from Satan in order to make the believers depressed. It's from shaitan. That state of depression where one cannot see any good. We have been blinded. Blinded by shaitan. And then that takes us to a point where so many people kill themselves, kill others around them, etc. That is an evil state. And that because of that, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazin. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from worry and depression. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to frequently make this dua. We should do the same. When we're feeling down, we start to go on that slide, remember that dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan. It's longer than that. There's other things that we seek refuge from. But that part is enough. You just focus on that. To protect us from falling into that state. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His mercy, had Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam point us to a verse in the Quran, which is a further reminder for us to beware of depression. This verse refers to a time in the life of Prophet Yunus, Dhun-Nun, who had been sent to a people, it is said that it was in Nineveh, in Iraq. And the people rejected his message, as is the sunnah of all of the prophets, that when they brought the messages to their people, They rejected them. This is nothing new. But Prophet Yunus was so saddened by it that he gave up hope on his people. And then he abandoned them and went off. And in abandoning them, he was abandoning a responsibility which Allah had placed on his shoulders. So his sadness at his people's unwillingness to accept the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to that point. So Allah took him back. He guided his people in his absence. And when he sought to go further away from that land that had rejected the message of Allah, as far as he had understood, he ended up on the sea and in a storm and ended up in the water. How exactly? There are different narrations about what actually took place, but what concerns us most is he ended up in the water. And he was swallowed by a creature of the sea. A big fish, a whale, a what? Allah knows best. A creature of the sea swallowed him. And Allah protected him from being digested by that creature, because that's what should happen. You end up in the stomach of a creature like that, you're going to be digested, you'll be eaten. Allah protected him. And inside of the stomach of that sea creature, he turned back to Allah and he made the dua, La ilaha illa ant subhanak inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. There is no God worthy of worship besides you. May you be glorified. Indeed, I am among the sinful. This dua is so powerful that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, Allah will relieve the distress and the depression of anyone who prays the prayer of my brother Yunus. This is the promise. Allah will relieve our depression. So we have the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al hammi wal hazan. As well as the dua of Prophet Yunus. This Islam has provided to deal with a trial and tragedy that happens in so many lives. Instigated by shaitan, we should be aware. Take this cure. Allah described the Quran as a cure. Take this cure. Islam is a cure for our illnesses. And use it in our daily lives. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us back to Him and to spare us the pain and the suffering of depression. Depression from shaitan. to protect our children, our family members, those we love from this terrible state. I ask Allah to protect all of us from depression, distress, worry, and extreme sadness. From the story of Prophet Yunus, there are four main lessons to be learned. The first is the need for patience in all of our affairs. The need for patience. Because with patience, depression cannot overcome us. That's the fact of the matter. For most of us, impatience is the norm. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Human beings are created with a hasty nature, an impatient nature. It is part of our nature. Those people who are born, who seem to be patient from the earliest times of their lives, there are few. We admire them. There are few. But patience is achievable. It is achievable. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have put patience as the ultimate route for achieving success in this life and the next. After telling us that we are going to be tried, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ, he went on to describe all of the forms of trials that we may experience in life: loss of wealth, life, family, savings. He closed that advice with فَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings of paradise to those who are patient. Those who, whenever they are struck by a calamity, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah and to Him we must return. Now, normally, when somebody says that, people say, well, who died? Somebody died in your family? But that's not what Allah said. He didn't say, whenever you have somebody die, you say, Inna lillahi. He said, whoever has any calamity in their life, if they are patient, saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, they're guaranteed paradise if that becomes their way. Whenever any tragedy, trial, what we call bad luck, and know that there is no such thing as bad luck, it's Allah's qadr. Whatever happens, no matter how small or how big, we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. A reminder to ourselves that everything is in the hands of Allah. That's it. It's all with Allah. So we need to just put our trust in Him patiently, and everything will work out. So bring this sunnah given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, practiced by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bring it back to life as a means of helping ourselves overcome depression. The du'as we've got of Surah Yunus, the du'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran to us in general. Use these. Make them a regular part of our lives. And inshallah, we will overcome depression. We will not become depressed. And patience is achievable. No matter how impatient we feel ourselves to be, and we think it's impossible, I cannot be patient. Yes, you can. If you're saying you cannot be, it is impossible for you to be patient, then you're saying that Allah has created you unfairly. He has created you so impatient that you cannot achieve patience, and then He told you that if you want to go to paradise, you need to be patient. That's unfair. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And your Lord will not be unfair to anyone. This is what Allah told us. So know that patience is achievable. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us how to achieve it. He said, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرُ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever strives to be patient, pretends to be patient, forces himself to be patient, Allah will make them patient. Now, some people might say, well, you're forcing yourself, you're pretending to be patient when in fact you are not. This is a kind of hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. It's not you. Well, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, do it. In our terms, we might look at it as hypocrisy, but it has with it a principle for developing and changing character. That principle is that if you keep doing something regularly, you keep working with it, eventually it will become natural. That's the point. So when you pretend to be patient externally, people see you as patient, but internally you're exploding with impatience. Eventually, that explosion will get less and less and less until there is no explosion. And it becomes you. You have become patient. That is the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second point that we should learn from the lesson of Prophet Yunus is that we should acknowledge our mistakes. Acknowledge our mistakes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and acknowledge our mistakes to those around us. Nobody likes to acknowledge mistakes. We prefer to hide it. That is our nature again. We don't want to be exposed. We want people to think the best of us. So we try to defend and cover our mistakes instead of acknowledge them. However, you cannot change. No change will take place as long as you don't acknowledge your mistakes. Because when you hide it, you keep doing it over again, and you hide it, and you do it, and you hide it. So the only way forward, the only way for us to improve and become better people is to acknowledge our mistakes. Because when we acknowledge it, then we can work on it, then we can change it. The third is repentance. Turning back to Allah in repentance for the sins that we have committed. Quickly, not delaying it. That the way forward is to recognize, acknowledge our mistakes, our sins, and seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Him. There is no sin too great that we cannot seek repentance from. But that process of repentance gives us strength, builds us to be able to overcome those sins. And the fact that we did it and we came back, we asked repentance and we did it again, and we asked repentance and we did it again, and of course Shaitan would say, look at you. There's no repentance for you. You keep doing it. But reality is that if we strive sincerely, yes, you may do it again, but it won't be like the first time. The third time won't be like the second time. The fourth time won't be like the third time. Eventually it gets less and less and less. For some people, they repent one time, they stop and finish, done. But for most people, it takes time. So we don't become depressed. Shaitan wants to put that thought in your mind. No, no point. See, it's a waste of time. Allah will never forgive you. Look at you. But the point is, Allah is able to forgive all sins, no matter how great they may be. And this is the message of the Quran and the Sunnah. And the fourth point is that we should glorify Allah. We should praise Allah throughout our day. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. This should be on our lips throughout the day. Not just after Salah, we sit and we say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And then we go on the rest of the day till the next Salah. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Next Salah. This is not what was intended. What is intended is that when we're saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, after our prayers, this is a reminder for us that between the prayers, we should be saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Because there are so many occasions, there are so many things happening in our lives which should be graced with the statement, Subhanallah. Why not? Subhanallah, you see something amazing. What do we say? Subhanallah? No, we say, wow. Yeah, every place where you want to say wow, say Subhanallah. Those are the places where Subhanallah belong. That's where we should be saying Subhanallah. And every day there are things happening, good things that have come to us. There is place for Alhamdulillah. We do say it. That one we say a little more often, because at least in Salah we are beginning our prayers with Alhamdulillah. It's there all the time. But let's try to say Alhamdulillah with real meaning. You know, Alhamdulillah, yes, we say Alhamdulillah. Yeah, Alhamdulillah. But Alhamdulillah? Is it really Alhamdulillah? Now, we just need to try to put some more meaning into it. Really think, Alhamdulillah. And Allahu Akbar, of course, there is no end of opportunities and circumstances in our lives when we know that Allahu Akbar is appropriate. Allah is greater than all of these things. How powerful the enemy seems, hurting Muslims, bombing Muslims, misguiding Muslims, Allahu Akbar. People think, oh, Allahu Akbar is just when you're on the battlefield, jihad, you're going to kill them. No, Allahu Akbar. No, that's not the only place. Yes, on the battlefield we say Allahu Akbar too. But the battlefield of our lives, there are many places also where we need to be saying Allahu Akbar. You got fired on your job because you tried to do the right thing. You refused to agree to a kickback. You are fired. This is the time. Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater. You can't hurt me. If I'm doing what is pleasing to Allah, you did that, you think you are going to hurt me because I didn't go along with your plan to earn yourself extra money, illegitimately, bribery, kickbacks, under the table deals, I refused, you fired me. Allahu Akbar. Yeah. Allahu Akbar. Allah will take care of it. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring His remembrance back into our lives through taqwa, through following the guidance of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and protecting ourselves from depression. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our families, our children, to forgive those who went before us, those who we have lost. We ask Allah to make their graves gardens from paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the way forward good and clear for the ummah, to protect us from the evil of those who seek to prevent the spread of Islam, to distort the image of Islam. We ask Allah to make us truly His servants, from His awliya, those who are close to Him and who love Him, about whom He said, La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. No fear will overcome them, nor will they be depressed.